Are y'all ready for a conference? Are y'all ready for a Moms with Swords conference? Would you come? Okay, y'all pray into that. We're really praying into that with worship, all that stuff. Okay. All right, y'all, I've gotten to the point, my sister, y'all, it's happened. And the lights are good enough in here, but my contacts, I might have to just put, oh, crap. Dang it. 45, y'all, it's hit me all of a sudden. You wait, you young things. You 20-somethings. It has happened. So I'm going to try to do it without it. But once I close my eyes and then I get teary, then my contacts move. And so I'm going to try to teach without them because it's going to be a pain doing this. Somebody said you could get bifocal contacts. I'm like, what? I am 45, but I feel like I'm a 10th grader. Shoot. All right. Okay. If I could have named this teaching, I would, there's two words. It's really simple. After I've taught it about four times to my dog, you know, Toby is my only audience during the week. I would probably have to name this teaching today, sit down. Look at your sister and say, sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Y'all better sit down. Get ready for this. All right, our theme verse, immovable. It's been so awesome to see how God has woven this theme throughout the last 2 weeks. And then Brittany two weeks ago, Brittany, just how that word immovable, I mean, if we could, in real life form, that woman, that daughter, is the picture of being immovable. How do you face what she has faced and still be able to breathe? Immovable because of Jesus. So our theme, God, thank you for just giving us that word. So our theme verse, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, the latter part. Today we're going to talk about this beginning part, but let's read it out of 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. These three little words, if they've not been highlighted in your Bible, you need to write them somewhere. These three little words, that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You need to write those words somewhere. We talked about those words a couple weeks ago when I said, by your calendar on your iPhone, everything in your day, you need to put beside what all the things you've got going on in that day in the Lord and ask Jesus, God, is this in the Lord? Because if it's not in the Lord or of the Lord, then it is not going to produce anything. If anything, it's going to deplete you. So we talked about those very vital words for a mom, particularly moms. Because we're so busy, we want to do, we think we can do. We are women, hear us roar, right? Like we can do it all. And yet we're watching the decay of our very culture. And I believe partly due to mamas who are doing stuff that is not in the Lord. And their families are suffering because of it. We've established looking at this verse through this lens of mothering. Praise God that his word is so alive and it's so full of power and it's so rhema that we can look through this lens, this mothering lens as we look into this verse. That as moms, we said it 2 weeks ago, like the one thing you could say about being a mom is it's a lot of work and it's a lot of toil. Those of you who are just expecting my sweet friend Christine over there, expecting her first one, we hate to tell her that, right? Get ready, a couple weeks, baby. A lot of work, a lot of toil. We saw, though, that when we dissect these words, when we dig up the treasure, right, God, the treasure of his word, when we dig into the word, we can see what he's saying. And we saw that this word work, it's so much better to know that there's going to be a lot of work when we know what God's saying. This is what this is what it's going to do, though. It's going to accomplish a work or worker who accomplishes something. It's going to produce something, right? I pulled out all, if you follow me on Instagram, you saw this because I was laughing. I pulled out some of my journals that I've written for my kids. Anybody do this? Anybody write journals for your kids? No condemnation if you don't. It is okay. Listen, I don't cook and I don't craft. I can do this. So you guys can give amazing birthday parties. When you come to my daughter's birthday party, you see a few streamers and a cake, and that's it. So I can write, but I've written journals, and it's so cool as I go back, because I told some of you a couple weeks ago, what are you wanting to accomplish in your mothering? Write it down. A goal. What goal do you have? Because this work should be accomplishing something. And so I look back at some of these journals and I see the goals that I've written down, the things that I believe for my kids, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, you're doing that. A journal of your days. You are my peaceful Sophie Kate. And if you know my Sophie, that's who she is. Goals, dreams that I wanted to accomplish in my daughters and my son. John William, I believe you will live up to your name and you will be a voice of one crying out in his generation, make way the Lord, as John the Baptist did. What do you want to accomplish, Mom? Write it down somewhere or just start praying it over them, because it is work. The Bible has said it's work. In the Lord, it's work. And in the Lord, it's going to accomplish something. And it's toil. And I love this word. I loved it when I dug this word up, because this is truly mothering. A strike or a blow that is so hard, that would be childbirth. Some of you go natural. It's really for you. Epidural mamas, not so much. It seriously weakens or debilitates. Deep fatigue, extreme weariness. How many of you are tired today? It's okay. It's tiring. This toil is tiring. Stacy, I mean, I was in my 16-year-old, about to be 16-year-old room last night, preaching to her for an hour and a half. My husband's like, Joy. But unlike my middle child who checks me out, this one is soaking in crying. But after I got done, I felt like I'd just given birth. But then if you follow her on Facebook, you saw what came out of that. It produced something. The sleepless nights. Y'all, when you're up, Jessica, when you're up nursing that baby and you are so tired, man, just speak the word over that baby. Do you know the word is alive? It's powerful, it's effective, and Isaiah 55:11, it accomplishes what it goes forth to do. Yes, it's toil. Yes, you're tired. Absolutely. It doesn't give you an excuse. You get in there and you seize it. You seize it. And say, because this is in the Lord, it will accomplish the purposes of God. This work that we're doing, this toiling, and we talked about, you know what's happening? Is we already in our own homes, we got a lot of work, we got a lot of toil going on. But what we also have going on is we've got a lot of mamas that are adding work to their work. You're adding work to your work. That's why this in the Lord is so vital for us moms. If PTA president is not in the Lord for you, guess what? Somebody else can do it. If band chaperone is not in the Lord for you, guess what? Somebody else will do it. Because if it's not in the Lord for you, it's just adding work to your work. And what it does, it depletes you. And your children will receive leftovers. If the work you're doing has not been downloaded, that Lord, remember we looked at that again in the Greek, that Lord is master, your boss. If your boss has not downloaded to you to be the chaperone or to be the PTA president, then don't do it. Just say no. It's okay. Listen, I admire, some of my dearest friends are the ones that can have capacity for so much. My husband is that person. I would crumble under his capacity. I know my capacity, itsy bitsy 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 bitsy. I tend to say no to a lot more, and I probably should say yes. So some of you, you got to put the brakes on, and I have to let the brakes off, because I tend to always say, nope, can't do that. I don't know how to do a spreadsheet. I don't know how to do a Word document. I can't do that. So we got to be led by the Holy Spirit and know what work we need to do and what work we do we need to let somebody else do. That's a word for somebody else. That's a word for one of you. Somebody else will do it if you don't. You don't have to. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If you're feeling unrest about it, don't do it. Or simply wait and ask. God has called you, not just called you, but the Bible says He's directed. He has directed you to train up your children. Proverbs 22:6, very familiar passage. Train up a child. Now, I know that doesn't say mom, but I would say it should say mom. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. You know that word train in the Hebrew is dedicate. That is your first and foremost work to do in your home. We got so many mamas that are working so good. They are given so much to all these things outside of their homes, but the work, the dedication in their home is suffering. And I'm sorry if that steps on your toes, because it steps on mine. I can be all in to so many things out here. Sometimes it's easier for me to go to your kids and minister to your kids than my own kids, because I know my kids. I have more compassion for those kids than my kids. But my first and foremost job that God has called me to, that He's called you to, is in your home to those little ones that are grabbing at your ankles at dinner time, saying, I'm hungry, daddy's not home yet. Those little ones that are waking you up, saying, my belly hurts. Those little ones that are coming to you needing advice. That is your first and foremost work. That is where we have to focus. Moms with Swords, y'all, is a lot of work. This doesn't just happen. It is a lot of work. Ask any of these sweet, precious volunteers. It's a lot of work. But you know why it's not depletion for me? When God calls me to fast for you, when God wakes me up because I like my sleep, He's been waking me up the last two mornings at 5 a.m. My husband's like, why are you getting up so early? I'm like, I know. Because I know it's in the Lord, it's okay. And it's accomplishing something in me and in you. So that way, you know what? I can look at my work and toil that I got to do here, because I'm already thinking about next session. I'm like, oh gosh, God, you got to download. I got to get a word. I can rest because it's in the Lord and I know God will accomplish something in it. It's part of the meal that God wants me to partake in. Anybody like a good meal? Anybody ever heard a mom say, God, I got to take something off my plate. Just got to take something. How many of you have said that even yesterday? Got to take, Jen Petrowski, surely you have said that because you are my woman that can do so much. I'm like, Jen, why can't I be like you? But everybody says, I got to take something off my plate. Now, I don't know about you. I told you I'm not a cook, but I can tell you, I don't care if my kids are eating McDonald's chicken nuggets. By golly, when they were little, they were going to have a little Tupperware full of strawberries, because I would always have the strawberries. They'd always have a fruit. Last night, I cooked John William taquitos. Anybody love taquitos? We love taquitos. Ann, I know you like taquitos. I know you very organic, healthy people. I know. But we had taquitos, and he had sliced apple slices. And I remember when I was a little girl, like my mom, like, oh, I have such sweet memories of my mom who will be gone 10 years coming up Monday. Wow, 10 years. I remember as a little girl, my mom always had, we always had dinner together. You know, that was before travel softball and travel football and band and dance 4 nights a week. We always sat down at the table. And my mama always, we had a meal. We always had a meal. And I remember we'd always have a protein and a vegetable and a fruit, right? But my mama, and some of you probably just, my kids would drop dead on the floor if I had like an appetizer, even if I had a side dish. Like, I've never made like a broccoli casserole. Now, I have made lima beans, frozen ones. And I made broccoli because you could put that in the microwave. But my, I mean, my mom would make this pear salad. Do you remember? Some of y'all might make it. You know, the jar, the aluminum can, oh Lord, aluminum can of the Bartlett pears. My mom would make those with that white stuff in the middle and cheese. What was that? What's that called? Mayonnaise. Julie would never eat that because she hated mayonnaise. But I remember, do you remember mom making those? And then we always had our meal. And then we always had a dessert. I don't remember the desserts my mom made, but we always, everything. What's happening today, y'all, in our culture, is we got mamas leaving the appetizer and the dessert on their plate and taking off the things that nourish them. We got a lot of moms surviving on appetizers and desserts and all the things that would pour back into them, that would nourish their soul, be the protein, be the vegetable, be the fruit that provides all the vitamins. That's what we take off of our plate. Let me tell you, make sure what you're taking off of your plate is not the meal that God wants you to partake in that will nourish you. Leave off the appetizers if you have to. Leave off the desserts, but do not take off those things that are going to feed and nourish you. Look at John 6. Again, I just love how the Lord 4 months ago knew that this is where we'd be going. I just love it. Look at this story. We've got so many mamas that are malnourished because they're taking the right things off of their plate and leaving the wrong things on their plate. Now this, let me give you some context of this verse. This is the Jewish people are, Jesus has told them that they've got to drink. This is the chapter where he feeds the 5,000, and this is the chapter where he talks, but I'm the bread of life. And so he's telling them, you gotta eat my flesh, you gotta drink my blood. And they are like my John William. They're so literal. Like, why you got to be so literal? No, I'm not really mean. You gotta come bite my arm. Anybody have a kid like that? Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Questions. I'm like, ugh. So the Jews are like this. They're like, you know, how are we going to drink your flesh? So listen to what Jesus did this. So Jesus, I love his authority. I love his authority. And I love his compassion and his patience with his children. Praise you, Lord. But Jesus didn't give an inch. Only insofar as you eat and drink flesh and blood, the flesh and blood of the Son of Man, do you have life within you. The one who brings a hearty appetite to this eating and drinking has eternal life and will be fit and ready for the final day. My flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. By eating my flesh and drinking my blood, you enter into me and I into you. In the same way that the fully alive Father sent me here and I live because of him. Look at this. You need to take a picture of that. Look at that word in the message. So the one who makes a meal of me lives because of me. This is the bread from heaven. Your ancestors ate bread and later died. Whoever eats this bread will live always. And go right back to that previous screen. Mom, are you making a meal of your Father? Is what's on your plate nourishing you because it is the meal your Father wants you to partake in? I don't care if it's 5 minutes, the most important time of your day, the best way to nourish yourself is to spend time with him in his word. Make a meal of him. He's asking you to. He's inviting you to. Make a meal of your Father. I read this in this precious, amazing book, and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to read this. Look at this in my Secrets of the Secret Place book. It is vitally important that each one of us learn how to collect manna for himself. Those who view the Sunday morning sermon as their source of nutrition are certain to be spiritual skeletons. God never intended that we live off the secret life of our pastor, your Bible study leader, me. He wants to uncover the life-giving thrill of feeding ourselves daily in his word. Once you learn to feed yourself in the word, you're no longer upset when the Sunday sermon or the Thursday Moms with Swords sermon doesn't apply to your life. You weren't looking for that sermon to be your source of feeding and life anyway. Oh, drop the mic right there. If something in the sermon feeds you, you reckon it a bonus. You're no longer dependent on others to give you milk because now you are cutting off your own meat. Mama, are you drinking him in? Are you eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Are you making a meal out of your father? Because so many mamas are so depleted and malnourished. Malnourished, that means poorly or improperly nourished. That, to me, is a definition of so many mothers. And you know what? Because it's so many mothers are this, guess what's going to happen? Your children will follow suit. You think not? Oh, that's a lie. I don't have to love Jesus for my kids to love Jesus. Now listen, God is sovereign and he's got a sovereign plan. I'm not trying to tell you, don't be so logical. I'm not saying X equals whatever. I'm just saying it is so much more. The best way for your children to know Jesus is if they see you knowing Jesus. And let me say, praise the Lord, I can tell you it's true. I am seeing the hunger and the thirst in my own kids. Because of so many great supplements in their life. But I believe it's because God has convicted me. Joy, if they don't see you, they got to see you loving me. And man, I need to be so much better at it. But I know what God can do with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So mom, even if it's just a little. And I know we got our phones now that serve as our Bible. But do your kids ever see your Bible open? Do they ever see your Bible? Do they ever see you praying over somebody? Listen, there's no condemnation. Just think of Nike. Just do it. If you've never done it before, today, just do it. Let them see you. The more you make a meal of him, the more you want it. The more you know how good coconut cake is, you'll want more. The more you know how good steak and chicken and when you're pregnant, everything tastes good. That's what Jesus wants to be to you. Oh my gosh, when I don't like food, but when I'm pregnant, I love food. Everything tastes good. That's Jesus. The hungrier you are, the more you desire him because you know you've tasted and you've seen and I want more. I want more. Even if you get to start a little, just start. Now, Paul is telling us in this verse, he is telling us of our posture. The work and the toil is coming. It's coming. I hate to tell you, it's coming. It's here. But Paul says, he gives us our posture, where our position is to be. Therefore, my beloved brethren, and I would hear your father say, therefore, my beloved daughter, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, some context of this verse, I want to give you a little bit of background of this verse because it's so important. This chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, it is the longest chapter of any New Testament epistle. It is the longest chapter, and it is named the resurrection chapter. Paul here is speaking to the Corinthians who believed in life after death, but without bodily resurrection. They didn't believe that Jesus would resurrect us and we could live eternally with him. So Paul's talking to the Corinthians, and I believe he's this verse, that our theme verse, is the very last verse in the longest New Testament epistle, which I think is so cool, because before he's talking about resurrection, he's talking about this is not the end, this is not the end all, this is not the end, and he ends that with saying, because it's not for naught. This isn't it. This isn't it. Jesus had a point to all he endured. It wasn't it. Death doesn't have the final say. Your work is accomplishing something, Mom. It's not it. The goal of every mother, I don't care. You can have a lot of goals. You can write down so many great things. I want him to go to this college. I want him to have this GPA. I want him to marry this kind of a person. And all that is awesome. But let me tell you something. The first and foremost goal of every mother should be, God, I want to spend eternity with my child. So let them bend their knee at some point to your name and let them know you as their Savior and their Lord. John William asked Jesus in your heart, May 21st, 2014, with Mommy. I'm done. If he goes to college, okay. If he plays at Georgia football, which he thinks he is, and we look at him and say, do you see your genetics? We just let him think it. I don't care. Sydney, I've written it down in hers. She's going to play softball at Georgia. I don't care. Now listen, come to a softball game and you probably say, you are lying because I am crazy fool. But I really don't, because you know what? That's just for her to promote God's name, not her name. It ain't to make her famous. It ain't a big deal. Sophie Kate, she's a smart one. Praise you, Lord. She can actually get in a college because of her grades. Thank you, Lord, for a scholarship for my oldest. But I don't care. Because the biggest goal I had in my mothering is that they know Jesus. Therefore, if anything happens, I am not separated. I am going to be with them forever. They have attained their prize. So Paul's saying, it's not the end, Mom. Your work is accomplishing something. It's doing something. You want to produce something in this work and this toil. Jesus had a point. Look at Hebrews 12:2. We must focus on Jesus, the source and the goal of our faith. Man, we could just make a sermon of that for mothers. We must focus on Jesus, not the team that they are on. Not whether they make diamond or sapphire on the dance team. We got to focus on Jesus, because if they make the team, it's because Jesus wants to make himself known on the team through your kid. We must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. He saw the joy ahead of him. So he endured death on the cross and ignored the disgrace it brought him. Now he holds the honored position, the one next to God, the Father, on the heavenly throne. Man, I don't believe I would be taking this verse out of context to tell you, Mom, there is joy ahead of you in your seasons of mothering. You just got to see it. He saw the joy. Do you see the joy? Or do you just see the annoying, Mommy, 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 you're not listening to Mommy. Do you see the joy? One of my favorite pastors preached a sermon this week called Grace in the Grind. Preach my favorite pastor, Stephen Furtick. Grace in the Grind, Shanta knows. Grace in the grind. Let me tell you, y'all, there's grace in the grind in the toddler years, in the newborn years. But so many of us in the newborn years are saying, oh, just get me to where they can drive. You're missing all the grace that God has for you in that season. I find myself, I'm just confession. I'm finding myself when I watch sometimes when I'm at Sydney's games, I'm like already like picture myself in the Georgia stands, like wearing my Georgia stuff, my husband who's a Tennessee fan, wearing his red and black proudly. Like, and God's like, excuse me, for one, you don't even, I mean, do I tell you tomorrow is promised? It ain't promised. Don't rush this season you're in because you want to get to the next, because God's got grace for you in this season that is available, but you just got to see it. You're so tired. Your work is just, it's doing so much to you that you just want to get to the next place. Mom, see the joy. See the joy in the little years. Listen, you moms of older kids, my sister can tell you, see the joy. Look, when I read back on these, oh my gosh, when I read back, oh, you had a great day. You're not liking your green vegetables. Mommy gave you green beans today. You would rather have the yellow and orange. You have been pooping better. You grunt a lot. You are really holding your toys well. You will have to have surgery on your cyst, on your eye. Shit, Sophie Kate, little cyst. It will only be 30 minutes outpatients. Mommy and Daddy hate it, but we are so grateful it's not worse. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow is your checkup. Today you're sweet. Your gums are itching, so you blow bubbles. And she turned 13. Moms, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Don't miss the joy in the season. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. For the joy set before him, he endured. There's joy. You just got to see it. And the enemy would love nothing less than for you not to see it, because then you're aggravated, then you're mad, then you're of no use. See the joy. See the joy. Steadfast. I uncovered these words. I looked for treasure for these words. In the secular dictionary, it says it means fixed or unchanging. If you want a goal for your kid, if today you're that stirring you, like, oh, I gotta write something, this is something to pray for your baby. Look in the Greek what this verse is saying. Remember, look at your sister and say, sit down. Here's our posture. Steadfast, a seat, well seated. Not given to fluctuation or moving off course. When your children go to middle school, let me tell you something. You're going to want that to be in their heart and mind. When you got somebody offering pot to your child, as I have a friend who did, and that son said, no, thank you. It's because this has been prayed into that son. You want a goal for your baby? Pray that. A well seated, that they are set down. And mom, pray it for yourself. Pray it for yourself, because let me tell you something, your circumstances are going to change. Things are going to shift all around you. The call will come one day, as it did for Dana, one of our prayer leaders, in the middle of the night, that her son had gotten in a car wreck head on with a drunk driver. The call came. But you know what happened like an hour before that phone call? God prompted Dana to get on her knees and pray for that baby. And that baby walked away. The news is going to come. Listen, I'm fixing to give next Friday, actually next 2 weeks on the 17th, I'm giving the keys to a car to my oldest. And let me tell you something. Y'all better come Thursday and lay hands on me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not seated well. I'm not seated well, because that one has a lot of favor on her, and you know the lie the enemy tells me? She's going to be Rachel Scott. I'm going to take her early because she's made such an impact. That's the lie the enemy tells me. But let me tell you something. I'm saying it out of my mouth. God, I'm going to be so seated in you that even if you ask that of me, I will not be moved. Even if you take Brittany Price, you take my husband, and I've got newborns, I will not be moved because I have sat myself down and I am making a meal of my Father. You want to pray something for your babies? You want to pray something for yourself? Pray that. But you are not given to fluctuation because your circumstances, the situations around you are going to fluctuate. But if you are seated in Christ, as the Bible says we are, which we're going to get to that, and then immovable, Paul says, he says, be steadfast. Hear your mama telling you, be steadfast. Be immovable. Look in the secular dictionary. I love how God even takes the secular and makes it his. Incapable of being moved. Unalterable. Unchangeable. In the Greek, firm, which is why some of you are doing Stand Firm, or that Bible study that Ann wrote, because it fits so much with this session. Firm, without movement or change of status. Firmly persistent. Listen, I told my daughter this last night. I said, you know what I pray for you, Sid? I tell the devil all the time, to get to her, you got to go through me. You be so persistent with culture, with the enemy, with circumstances. You take your seat there. If there ever was an excuse for you to be a control freak, it is this word right here. Gives you a pass. I am firm and I am without movement or change of status. I am going to be an immovable because I have sat down with my Father. I was at Scottish Rite this past week. Mary Beth, are you here? Where is Mary Beth? She's not here? Mary Beth, Justin, our dads with Shields, their daughter was at Scottish Rite this week, and I went and sat with her in the hospital. And let me tell you something. Justin was in Bolivia on a mission trip. I'm going to have them share. It's just too good. I can't share it all. They got to share some. But so Justin prayed, like, that she had the tonsils and adenoid surgery, had a little bit of complications after the bleeding. Sometimes that happens. And Justin was leaving on Sunday to go to Bolivia. And he said, God, if she's bleeding tomorrow, I'm just not going to go. Had a great day. He leaves Sunday for Bolivia. Sunday night, she's rushed to Scottish Rite. So I sat with her in the hospital room a couple times this week. And what I loved so much, this, I think Mary Beth is 27, young mama. It was hell week. And let me tell you what people were saying. Why did your husband not come home? Why is he not here? Because it's bigger than even our kids, our husbands, and our wives. Mary Beth said, she's crying. The circumstances were terrible, yes. But Mary Beth had taken a seat. She was well seated. So what we recounted in that hospital room was not all the bad, not all the shadows. Listen, some of you are shadow seekers. You love the shadow. Oh, I want to talk about how bad and how hard and how work and how toil and how devastating it is. Let me tell you something. There is not a shadow if there's not light. And you need to shift your eyes off the shadow. And Mary Beth just did just that. And she recounted all the ways, the nurses and the doctors that walked in on her praying with people. I said, Mary Beth, you will never know what God did. What God did this week, you will never know what he did. And your husband had to be that many miles away because he would have tried to control the situation. God took everything out so that you could see that he is enough and you in him are immovable. Where are you sitting, Mom? Where are you sitting? Are you sitting in the shadow? I'm gonna camp a tent right here. I'm gonna sit in the shadow of all this work and all this toil. Or do you see yourself bowing up? And in spite of the shadows, because they're going to be there, you're gonna step out of the shadow. And your soul can be at rest even though your circumstances are not. Because the light of God's presence never leaves you. Be steadfast. Jesus has already said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. Why are we so taken aback, Joy? Why? Preaching to myself, y'all. I am preaching this sermon to myself. God knew I needed to preach it before I give the keys to Sydney. He's like, you got to preach this sermon to yourself. Because right now I'm wanting to stand up and oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And God's saying, sit down. In spite of the trouble and in spite of the shadows, be steadfast. Look at Psalm 91 in the Message. This is our posture. Mom, you who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow. Say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust and I'm safe. That is how your soul can be at rest, even if your circumstances are not, because you have sat yourself down. This life isn't it. Our circumstances are not it. Those of us in Christ, we will be resurrected. This isn't it. All the toil, all the work we experience through this journey of mothering, it should be with purpose, but it's up to us. It should be with calculated destination. Now, God has the final say, but God, I'm going to operate out of the Holy Spirit and you in me, and I'm going to have a calculated destination. Let me tell you something. I got kids in my house right now coming into my house. I got two friends. I have a calculated destination I'm going after for those kids. Your own kids have a calculated destination. This is where I'm going. And all those friends that come in, you have a calculated destination. And let me tell you something else. We can do it all with joy. Jesus did. And we don't have to endure anything near what he endured. So what I've kind of adapted for us is, you know how much I love Chick-fil-A, which I'm fixing to go down there and get a swig of my tea. We can do it all with pleasure. Everly, I gotta wake up again and feed you. It's my pleasure. 3-year-old, I have to break up a fight in the Chick-fil-A play place with you hitting somebody or biting somebody. It is my pleasure because I am going to teach you the gift and the fruit of self-control. And biting is going to be the way I get to that fruit in your life. It's my pleasure. Sydney, last night, an hour and a half in your room with emotional ups, downs. It's my pleasure. And let me tell you something. It really can be our pleasure. Because once it becomes our pleasure, God starts giving us blueberries. I have so many moms text me. Johnette's not in here. She's one of my biggest. Johnette is here. Johnette will text me and say, Joy, I just got to tell you about my blueberry. You start seeing the joy in the season. You start seeing the grace in the grind. God will start giving you some buckets of fruit in the hearts of your kids that you can just sit back. Again, it ain't you. It isn't us. I'm not telling you that you're doing this and it's making your kids look great so you look great. You want, what does it say in the Bible? Let your good works shine before men. So that they see your good works. So they see your good works and glorify you, Mom. Glorify the Chambleys. Aren't the Chambleys so good? Aren't the Bells so good? Aren't the Hudsons such good family? No. So that they glorify your Father in heaven. The fruit points to the fruit giver, Jesus. You got to do it with pleasure. The holy interruptions in your life, with pleasure. You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in shadow, shadow. Paul is telling them, don't move or waver or get off course. Ephesians 2:6, we are seated with him. God raised us up with Christ. When we died, when we said yes to Jesus, we have been raised to life. But he didn't raise us up. He sat us down. He seated us. But we're so busy standing up and rushing from here to there. He seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We moms are sat down with Jesus, or we're supposed to be. As you continue in this seasons of motherhood, all the different seasons, as you continue to make this your posture, as you continue to sit down all the stuff that comes at you, it will not shake you and it will not take you off course. Because you have made a meal, you are making a meal of your Father, and you are sitting down. And then guess what? A steadfast mom, an immovable mom, will become a reality. It will become a reality. And you can feed off of the, how many of you fed off of Brittany's fruit from her being so immovable? It fed you, right? It fed you. That is what God, that's the fire poker. That's what God wants to do. As he does that in you, he wants you to do that in others. The skeleton moms, the malnourished moms, he wants you to make a meal of him so that you can introduce the meal to the friends. The ones who've on their plate is all the appetizers and desserts, and they see the peace in your life. They see you walking in peace after you've endured what you've endured, and they say, what the heck? And you can say to them, let me tell you how I eat. Let me tell you about my diet. My diet accomplishes something. Proverbs 31:25 can be a reality for us. She is clothed with strength and dignity. The devil will tell us you will never be a Proverbs 31 woman. I am here today to say I'm audacious enough to say I'm believing God. I can be clothed with strength and dignity. I can laugh at the days to come. I can. Not in myself, but through you, as I make myself sat down with you, as I'm steadfast and immovable, I can be clothed with strength and dignity, and I can laugh at the days to come. Not because of I'm strong in my own. No, I read that this morning in my quiet time. Like, I can't boast in anything but Jesus, but in Christ, that can be reality. Again, believe it. Take God at his word. This is not some fictitious woman. This can be a reality for us. Moms with swords, can we be a community of moms that are clothed with strength and dignity? Yes. In the Lord. And this is one I have written down for myself. Psalm 112:7. This is something I am having to speak over myself. And I bet some of you have to as well. Joy, you will fear. You will have no fear of bad news. Because in my head, I got bad news. This is what's going to happen. Oh, yep, this. Their hearts, here's the word. Steadfast. Oh, wait, remember? Steadfast, fixed, or unchanging, not given to fluctuation. A seat, their hearts, not their feet, their hearts. Your feet might be moving in lots of different places, but your heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. This can be a reality. I'm praying this into my life. Believe it for yourself, Mom. It's not some charismatic thing for you to take God at his word. And I'm not saying that just because I'm charismatic. He is God, and this is His word, and it's not for somebody, it is for you. You can have no fear of bad news. Bad news is coming. It's how you react to it. And I'm trusting that if I get a phone call in the middle of the night that something has happened to one of my kids on the road, this is what I'll rise up and say. My heart is steadfast. I am trusting in you. You're going to hear a couple stories in a couple weeks of two women that the worst thing ever happened to a mom happened to both of these moms. Both of their sons tragically killed. And yet one of them is sitting back here right now. And one of them is going around telling her story. They even made a movie of her story. How in the world? Because their hearts are steadfast, and because they have trusted in the Lord. A reality in these two moms. And I'm believing it for myself. Everything we're doing has a purpose. Everything we're doing. You can endure, Mom. There's joy set before you. A couple stories in the Bible. Matthew 14, very familiar. It's the picture of the feeding of the 5,000 that I said was also in that Luke verse earlier. It's quoted again in Matthew 14. The story of the 5,000. I want you to see what Jesus does before he gives, before he feeds. I want you to see what he tells them to do. Now, when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on the foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Mom, there's nowhere you can hide from your children, is there? They will find you. They find you. The crowds always found Jesus, but look what I did a teaching on this. I'm going to have to do it here, but look at what he said to him. Go back to that last screen, Ann. He wasn't annoyed. He wasn't like, oh, you again. And y'all, I'm just, come to my house. I am the annoyed mom. I don't have compassion on them. Like, you want to talk about this again? You're asking me another question? It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Jesus wasn't annoyed when they found him. He felt compassion for them and he healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and the hour is already late, so send the crowds away." That's me. Go, go. "That they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Let them feed themselves." But Jesus said to them, which is why he's got to be our example, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Again, they're looking at the natural. God's trying to get their eyes off the natural and on the supernatural. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Now look, this is what he tells them. Ordering the people to stand up. Ordering the people to sit down. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave it to them and to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. They had to sit down before they received. The story of Mary and Martha. Where was Mary in the story? And where was Martha? Who was receiving and who was being depleted? Mary was sat down at his feet, and Martha was busy doing the work. 1 Chronicles 17:16, David sat down in the Lord's presence. Mom, sit down and receive from your Father so that you can feed those that God's called you to feed in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your word. Man, thank you that you have preached it to me today. And may it be rhema for so many of these moms. God, I just pray your word now would activate itself. Activate itself in the hearts of these moms and those that are not even in this room but that are listening by podcast. God, I declare just this, that word activation. I hear God say, I'm fixing to activate my word in your life. God, activate your word. Man, may we not, as James says, just be hearers of the word. God, I proclaim and declare that moms are going to become doers of the word, believers of the word. You can do that, God. I'm asking you to do that. Activate your word, God. Activate your word. May we act on your word. And God, I pray for that mom that sitting there and feels condemned and feels, I don't do any of that. I don't believe that. In Jesus' name, may I just say, that is not your father. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, alive in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. That is a lie from the enemy. God does not condemn, but God does convict. And may that condemnation be dispelled, and may God bring back a holy conviction, and may it move you to act. Man, the enemy wants us to sit in that condemnation and that, oh, that hurts, and I don't like what that she said, that I don't like. No, may you receive it from your Father and let him take it and activate it in your life and work out the parts that he wants worked out in your heart. Devil, you are a liar. You are a liar, and I silence all of your lies in Jesus' name right now. Holy Spirit, be the only voice that is in the ears of these moms in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, counselor, teacher, do your work now as we move into prayer time. Would everybody just stand? In just a posture of prayer, we're just going to have a posture of prayer for the next few minutes. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. God, do your work. Do your work. As we allow us to respond to the word. God, we just don't allow a response to the word so often. And I don't ever want moms, I want us to offer a response. So God, have your way in these next few moments. And mom, if you feel like you gotta respond by kneeling, by talking to somebody beside you about what God's been downloading over the last 30 minutes, or if you need to get your feet and move and go pray with somebody, go. Respond how the Holy Spirit would have you respond. But let's just make this holy ground for a little while before we go in our prayer groups. God, have your way. Have your way. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.